Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening, everyone, and good evening, Misty. How are you?
Good evening, Bonnie. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. How was your week?
Oh, it was good. A little tiring, but it was good.
Good. And how's the weather in Florida right now?
The weather in Florida is starting to get hot, so I'm sure you're happy to hear that since I rubbed in the warm weather during all your snow. So we're starting to get hot now, which is not the fun time of year.
Right. That's the time of year you will not find me down there. But, you know, I guess it balances out after the horrible winter we had.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd like to welcome all of our listeners, and we know that people listen to our show from all over, not only this country, but also all over the world. So tonight we're going to throw out a question, and we're going to have a guest with us in a couple of minutes, one of our favorite callers, Maggie, who's going to come on and discuss her feelings. And if any of you would like to call into our show, I'd like to give you the call-in number. It's area code 646-716-4893. Once again, I'll mention it, 646-716-4893. I think in all the years that I've been working with straight wives and doing counseling, which is almost as many years as you are old, Misty, well, not quite, but, you know, close to 30 years.
Wow.
One of the things that, you know, I've seen that there's such a problem with is when a woman finds out about her husband being gay,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he's ready to disclose the information at his convenience, not yours. And sometimes he never discloses the information. You know, he'll keep it a secret from you until the day, you know, you die. And also, even if you catch him, a lot of times he's going to sit and deny it and make you
mm-hmm.
think, like, you're crazy,
mm-hmm.
and that you must be imagining this. And even when you have hard evidence, I mean, so many women will write to me and have hard evidence, and their husbands are still denying it and still blaming the wives for, you know, looking into things that aren't even really there. So, you know, I always feel that when women tell me that their husbands come out to them and tell them the truth, they're in such a better place than those women who will never know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I also work with a lot of gay men on their issues of coming out because certainly I am sympathetic. I know how difficult it is, and I know that it's the hardest thing they're ever going to have to do, and I'm there to give them support and to refer them to other men in my support system, especially my gay ex-husband, male peer counselor, Doug, who really does work with them to give them insight. And now we're, you know, also referring them to our new male gay coaching service through Rick that was on our show a couple weeks ago, and hopefully that'll expand things for them also or help them with, you know, their issues. And just developing more and more men who can give them support, you know, so they can go through this process and get it over with. But, you know, one of the things that Doug and I are working on is a project. I'm putting together a book for men on, you know, the best way to come out to your wife or how to come out to your wife. Because this is how, you know, all the, you know, questions that come to me from men, how do I tell my wife? How do I do this and disrupt everything going on in life? And one of the issues they bring up on a continual basis is that, you know, the reason why I don't want to tell my wife is because, you know, I don't want to hurt her or it'll be more damaging for her or she'll be better off not knowing. And in their minds, they really believe that. It's not like, you know, many of these men really do think that, you know, if their wives find out, they're only going to be more hurt. So what's the point in telling them? So Doug is really working on it from the male point of view, and I'm going to be writing about it in my next newsletter coming out, you know, next week. From the female point of view, why do you think it's important, you know, for your husband to tell you at the soonest possible point that he's gay? Because I want men who are going to be reading this book that hopefully will come out within the next year to understand the damage that is done when you're not honest. And I think that, you know, when thinking that they're protecting you, they don't have a clue on how much damage it's really doing to you. So that's the topic we're going to be talking about tonight, and how it affects a woman by not knowing and by living with this lie. And I think what men really fail to realize is that women know that there's something wrong in the marriage. And they see that their husbands are angry, they're frustrated, they're distanced. You know, they're just not making an emotional connection to them. And the women always internalize this, you know, blaming themselves that they're failing as a wife, when in fact, you know, it has nothing to do with them being a wife. It has to do with the husband being gay. Wouldn't you say so, Misty?
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree with that. It's so difficult when the wife is just wondering what she did wrong, because unfortunately they tend to internalize that they have done something wrong.
And I think that this is really hurting the process of healing. And I think the longer a husband holds out and the more angry he gets and frustrated, the more he blames his wife for being, you know, the
Absolutely.
Keeper of the prison gate there.
And I think it hinders the healing for both parties, not just the straight wife. I think it hinders the healing for the gay husband as well. You can't come out, and I'm not saying you have to tell the world, because I can understand that, you know, some people have, you know, they live professional lives, and their private life is their private life. However, when you're married to someone, you deserve the right to know what's going on. And I think that that information should be forthright and honest, because it does, like you said, it hinders healing for both sides, I believe.
I agree. So I think that Maggie's here with us. Let me just check if this is Maggie. Is that you, Maggie?
Yes, it is.
Hi, welcome back to our show. We're always so happy when you call us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. I'm cold because we've had another cold snap, but other than that, doing pretty good.
Well, what does cold mean in the South? Like, what are you talking about?
Well, it was about 35 this morning, but it's been up in the 70s. So when you have a 40-degree swing in temperature, it, you know, it makes
Definitely.
A big difference.
All right. I was going to make fun of you for saying that.
It's all a matter of perspective.
I guess it is. Around here these days, 30 is good.
Yeah.
30 is a warm spell.
And no, given the winter that they have up north.
Yeah.
Just today
with no
snow is a warm spell.
Yeah, we're so excited. My snow is gone. It's just raining. I love that four-letter word, rain. But I don't know if you had a chance to hear what, you know, the topic that we're talking about tonight that I asked if you could join us about is the damage that not telling your wife about being gay. You know, I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about this with us because, you know, you've gone through this experience. You were in a long-term marriage, correct?
That's right, 37 years.
Which is a very long time. And, you know, it was probably your whole adulthood, wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, I mean, I married at 23. And so over half my life, I was married.
And you loved your husband, correct?
I did. I did.
And you thought you had a good marriage, right?
I thought everything was just fine until I stumbled across an email one day that showed me that he was leading a secret life. And at that point, you know, it was I basically found that he'd been leading a secret life for about 4 years. And it was just devastating. I mean, I just went numb.
Now, did you suspect anything was wrong in the marriage? I'm not saying gay. I'm just saying anything. Was he acting differently at all over the last year or two before that?
Well, actually, for 4 or 5 years prior to that, he had gone through what our children and I jokingly called Dad's midlife crisis du jour. It was like every year it was something different. First he started going to the gym, then he took up something else, and then he bought a motorcycle, and then he did, it was like every year that, you know, the boys and I, and my sons were grown by this point, you know, we would kind of look at each other and go, well, we wonder what it's going to be this year. And, you know, we just thought it was because he'd turned 50 and he was having a hard time dealing with that. And he's always been rather vain. And so, you know, and from that perspective, yeah, you know, I thought he was having a hard time dealing with growing older, but I think some of us, you know, deal with it better than others. And
did he show any kind of behavior as far as changing with you, as far as feeling a little more angry, a little more, you know, discontented?
Every now and then, you know, he would start complaining about his job, and I'd always been a stay-at-home mom, and every now and then he would say something like, well, you know, I think maybe you ought to go out and get a job and let me stay at home. And one time I even, you know, looked at him and I kind of laughed and I said, well, obviously you don't enjoy our standard of living very much, because there's no way I can make as much money as you do and keep us, you know, in this house and everything. And, I mean, he just went ballistic when I said that. And and I think that was right before I found out that he was gay. So,
did you feel emotional distancing from him?
Right now?
No, back then.
Oh, back then? Yes, and yeah, I guess. But he was kind of struggling at work. He had changed jobs. And, you know, I just thought he had a lot going on with work. And then that he was just, you know, trying to deal with, you know, with this whole aging thing. And so I was willing to cut him a little slack. I mean, it kind of pinched when I turned 52. So, you know, I just never suspected that there was anything, you know, more than that.
How about sexually?
Oh, now, sexually was a whole other matter. Our sex life was never that great as far as I was concerned. I never got a lot out of sex, and I always thought there was something wrong with me because of that. And then about, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe more than that, he started exhibiting signs of erectile dysfunction, which is not uncommon, again, in men in their mid-50s. And so I was trying to be very understanding about that as well. And I mean, I can remember the last time we had sex, which was about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was a complete disaster.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't perform, and you know, and he said, you know, I've tried, you know, one drug, and I've tried, you know, another drug, and they're just not working, and I believed him. I mean, that's what married people are supposed to do, is trust and believe in each other. And So I didn't pressure him about sex, because I didn't want to make him feel bad if he couldn't have an erection or maintain one. And I just figured that he wasn't initiating sex because he didn't want to try and fail again.
Mm-hmm.
But I later found out.
Was he much of an initiator earlier on, or were you more of the initiator?
Probably 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But it didn't play like a major part in your lives at any point.
Was sex a major part of our life? No, I would never say so. You know, we weren't one of these couples that was all over each other 24/7. You know, and he was raised in a very religious household, so you know, I don't know whether that, you know, played a part. And then, of course, I grew up in an era when more women were virgins when they got married. So, you know, it's not like, you know, either one of us had an enormous amount of experience.
Mm-hmm. So you probably wouldn't really know the difference between what was supposed to be and what was, correct?
That's right. You know, I mean, I joke now and say everything I know about sex I learned from a gay man, you know, and so that's not exactly the greatest sex education for a straight woman.
Absolutely. So, you know, in retrospect now, you've been apart for how long now?
We've been separated for about a year and a half.
Okay. Well, when you first found out, and you said that was 4 or 5 years ago?
No, actually, I first found out he was gay about 2 years ago.
Okay. So you first found out, and what was your immediate reaction?
Denial. You know, I mean, I saw the emails between him and another man. They were arranging to meet in a hotel, and at first I thought maybe it was just some kind of trash talk between him and one of his guys, one of the guys from the gym. I know we were talking about that in the chat tonight about, you know, how a lot of gay men, you know, go to gyms because it's a great place to pick up other men. So I thought the emails may have just been trash talk, you know, between him and one of his friends. But the more I dug, I started and when I say I went into denial, I was basically in denial for about 6 weeks. And then I started, you know, thinking about that email again, and I started digging. And at that point, I found lots of emails and found that he had an account on a gay website, you know, where he could hook up with men literally all across the country.
Uh-huh.
And I realized, this wasn't trash talk. This was reality. And at that point, I was just completely stunned. I couldn't believe that this was happening to me.
And I guess it has to be a feeling of shock because you just had no suspicions whatsoever.
Yeah,
you know,
I had
just kept
none,
thinking
yeah.
It was, you know, midlife crisis. You know, this is why he's doing this and that. Did you see a change at all in his appearance over that period?
Not really. He was always very vain. You know, he was a sharp dresser, and he was always much more into clothes than I was, and, you know, always, you know, fussing with his appearance and this sort of thing. And so that, I mean, to me, that was just the way he always was.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really saw any difference from that respect.
So how long did it take you before you actually confronted him with this information?
It was from February till May, so that's what, March, April, May, about 3 months. But that was because I was working in the background with my attorney to come up with a plan of action.
So you want to at least, you know, see what your options were and to protect yourself correct?
I knew nothing about divorce. You know, I never planned on being divorced. So, you know, I didn't know what my rights were under the law. And so before I said anything to him, I wanted to find out. So I made an appointment with an attorney and went and visited and found out just exactly, you know, how the law operated in my state, and I also started seeing a therapist.
Let me ask you this question, Maggie, because you're always very honest, you know, which I really appreciate because so many of our women can make a connection with you, and I know this question might be a little difficult, but I think we all are in this position. When you did first find your evidence and you first, you know, of course, were in shock, but then you learned to realize that this is really going on, did you think in your mind that there's some way you could live with this?
Yeah, I did. I can remember sending an email to one of my best friends. She was one of the first people that I told what I had found out. And I told her in this email, I said, I really don't see how, I can't fathom divorcing him. Because I don't have any earning power, and I even said I think that divorce would reward him and punish me because I would be out in the cold with nothing, and he would just be, you know, going on his, you know, merry old way.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so I kept trying to figure out some way to make it work.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, his friend kept saying, Marilyn, no, this, you know, you can't make this work. You know, the whole gay issue aside, the man's been cheating on you for the last 4 years. You know, even if he wasn't gay, if he was straight, do you want to stay with a man who thinks so little of you that, you know, he's cheated on you, he's brought people into your house and had sex with them in your bed? And so finally, it was a slow process, but, you know, I finally realized that, you know, she was right. You know, there wasn't any way I could make this work. I could change him. I couldn't make him not be gay anymore. And based on what I was, you know, reading, you know, over, I mean, he kept all of his old emails. I had, you know, 4 years of old emails I could read. And his behavior had escalated over the course of that 4 years. So I could see that, you know, there wasn't any going back for him. You know, this was the way it was, and I wasn't going to be able to change it, and my only option was to get out, and the sooner I could get out, the better. Scary as it was.
So staying in the marriage really wasn't an option for you after you...
No, although at one point he did come to me and suggest that maybe we could stay married but just live apart. And that, and for him, that was purely a financial move. And I even discussed that with my attorney, and she told me, I do that a lot. It's called a postnuptial agreement. And you remain married, but you live apart. And I considered it for all of about 10 minutes and then thought, no, I can't stay connected in any way to this man who has lied, cheated, and stole from me. I just can't do it.
You know, you mentioned before that, you know, it was over a period of years as far as the infidelity was concerned. Do you think it mattered to you more that it was with a man than it was a woman as far as your decision?
Yeah, I'd have to say yeah. Although, I would have been upset if he'd been cheating with women. You know, if he'd been straight and cheating, I would have been upset. But, you know, just the whole idea that, you know, that this man that I've been married to for, you know, at that point in time, it was like 35 years, 36 years, you know, the fact that, you know, he had kept this secret and acted on it and done all these things, you know. I mean, it was just such a blow. You know, my trust, you know, had, you know, was betrayed. You know, my self-esteem wasn't great to begin with, and you know, now I find out that, you know, my husband prefers men to me. I even found out in one of his emails that he would, when we had sex, he would imagine that I was a man so that he could perform with me. Now, that's a real blow to your self-esteem.
I think that women really learn to understand that, you know, certainly it's more shocking.
Yeah.
And a lot of them say, well, I don't know why, you know, you think he's gay, he can still have sex with me. But as we've heard from man after man who have come on our show and from our own husbands, that sometimes they're honest, they do fantasize about being with a man, and that's how they're able to have sex with you.
Right.
And so after you found this out, when you did confront him, how did you confront him?
I actually confronted him with a letter. He was going on a business trip, and so I sent the letter to his hotel because I had been advised by a psychologist that outing a gay man could be violent, could provoke violent behavior. And even though he had never been physically abusive, the psychologist said, you know, the analogy he used was, you know, even the sweetest little dog will gnaw your hand off if you back him into a corner. So that's how I confronted him. There was just a very brief note from me that said, I know what you've been doing. You know, I'm very disturbed by this and the effect that it, you know, has on me and on our family, and I want a divorce. And then there was a letter from my attorney saying, you know, your wife has become aware of your, you know, numerous homosexual affairs and has, you know, come to us to represent her in a divorce action.
Now, did he deny it at all?
Actually, no, he didn't deny it. Oddly enough, you know, he called me after he got the letter, and the first words out of his mouth were that I had really blindsided him with it, which was exactly what we plan to do. And then he said, I just don't understand why you didn't come and talk to me face to face about this. I always thought we had a very open and honest relationship. And I'm thinking, open and honest. You know, you've been lying to me for all these years, you know, and you think we have an open and honest relationship. But I'm not sure that night if he actually, you know, said, yes, I'm gay. But about a month after that, we sat down across the kitchen table and talked. And at that point, you know, he said, this is something that I have struggled with for a long, long time.
Now, do you think in any way he felt better that you knew?
You know, that I really don't know, because from that point on, communication between us was very, it was very stilted. You know, he moved out and started staying with a friend of his. And so we didn't communicate a lot face to face. A lot of it was through text messages and emails and letters between our attorneys. So I really can't say, you know, for sure.
So did you feel at any point there was any chance for, or did he try in any way to say, well, maybe we can make this work?
Well, yes, in terms of that postnuptial thing that I had mentioned earlier, you know, that, you know, that we could, you know, stay married but live apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could still file joint tax returns and
all right,
and
well, that's not really
but
making
him,
it work.
For him it was purely a financial thing. But yeah, as far as making the marriage work, no, he never although every now and then he would come to me and he'd say, is this what you really want?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is a divorce, you know, and you know, I so many times I wanted to look at him and just scream at him and say, no, what I really want is for my life to go back to normal. But I knew that was never going to happen, because you can't change gay. You know, that's the way he is.
Now, did he try to keep you quiet about it?
Not until we went to mediation.
Mm-hmm.
And I deliberately didn't say a whole lot to a lot of people. I talked to my very best friends, and my sister and I talked a lot, and of course my therapist and I talked an awful lot. But mostly I really kind of kept it quiet, because our whole strategy for mediation was to blindside him with all this information that I had about him, because in my particular state, marital misconduct does count for something.
Uh-huh.
And so I was able to get a little more in the settlement based on the fact that he had committed adultery numerous times.
Uh-huh.
But then at mediation, he threw in a non-disclosure agreement, which I was blindsided by. I never expected that, because he was afraid I was going to go to his family. And I think he was also afraid of what I might tell our children,
mm-hmm.
although I would never have told him the sordid details of stuff. I don't think, you know, even though they're grown, they're adults, I don't think they need to know, you know, anything more than that dad is gay. That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter-in-law told me that, you know, she said, I mean, we all kind of have to tiptoe around things. We have this great big elephant in the room. You know, dad is gay and dad has a boyfriend, and so that big elephant's in the room all the time, and we just sort of have to tiptoe around it and avoid it and all of its mess and everything. But my daughter-in-law did tell me, she said, you know, your son is very smart and he's able to connect dots. So she was alluding to the fact that he probably knows, you know, a lot more. And actually he had found gay porn hidden in the garage when he was a teenager. So for years, for half his life, he had suspected that his father was gay, but never said anything.
And do you think that did some damage to him?
I'm sure it had to have done some damage to him, because, you know, he had to keep his father's secret too. I work with a divorce group that is based around the stages of grieving, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. I'm sure that, you know, initially he probably went through some denial, just like I did. You know, dad must have just bought this on a lark, or somebody gave it to him as a joke or something. And then the night that we called him and told him that we were getting a divorce, although my husband said, you know, we're divorcing because we've grown apart. My daughter-in-law told me that he was very angry that night. So I'm thinking, okay, that's the second stage of grief. So, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, you know, this has affected, you know, my sons. I think, you know, adult children of divorce are affected just as much as younger children are. They're just affected in different ways.
And I think this is more than just the ordinary situation of divorce.
Initially they didn't know. It wasn't until a couple of months later that, you know, that their dad did sit down with them and tell them that he was gay. And they say that they're okay with that, that they, you know, they understand that, you know, because, I mean, we'd always, you know, our whole family had always had a very, you know, pro-gay rights stance. You know, we couldn't understand, you know, why there were, you know, there was so much anti-gay hatred in the world. And I find it very ironic, you know, that we had had so many discussions about this. And here my husband sits, you know, knowing, you know, that he's gay. So, you know, I think my boys, you know, I mean, you know, they know that this is the way he is, that, you know, he didn't choose to be this way. But, you know, like I said, you know, we really can't talk about it, so I don't know how they feel about anything else.
You think they feel a sense of betrayal by him also for living this lie?
But, you know, they've never said so. So anything would have to be speculation on my part, and I would speculate that probably my older son does, because like I said, he was the one that found the gay porn and had suspected for so many years. So he probably does, you know, feel some sense of betrayal.
I think it really puts, you know, we've heard from other young adults who have been, you know, in touch with us or on the show, but it really puts them in a very bad situation when they're keeping their father's secret. Don't you think so?
Yeah. I mean, I really feel so sorry for my son, and I would love to be able to sit down and talk to him about it and say, you know, I hate that you had to live with this for half your life. And, you know, although I did tell my daughter-in-law, I said, you know, if you think he is, you know, becoming depressed or anything over this, please encourage him to go see a therapist and you know, find somebody to talk to. I'll help him find somebody, you know, that will be understanding about the whole gay issue and that won't just, you know, brush it away and say, oh, you know, your dad can be cured, you know. I was very fortunate in that I found a therapist who, you know, had a very, she was very, you know, she didn't have that attitude. She understood.
And you mentioned that he came from a religious family, correct?
Yes, his father was a minister.
Did you find it odd that he was very pro-gay?
His views had really kind of changed through the years. Because, I mean, I had always been pro-gay, and my husband had not been. And then over the years, his attitude changed. And so, of course, now I look back and I think, well, yeah, of course they changed, you know, because the change started coming about the time he started acting on his gay urges. So I think it was, you know, part of that probably was to help him rationalize his behavior.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times I find that gay married men are somewhat homophobic in the early, you know, in the early years of the marriage, because, you know, they feel a sense of either self-hatred towards themselves for that part of them, or they're just trying to make sure that nobody ever suspects them.
Yeah, that could very well be.
Did you ever find him making anti-gay comments when you were younger?
I wouldn't necessarily have called him homophobic. You know, he wasn't one of these that, you know, made really, you know, ugly, awful remarks, about gays, but yeah, I really, you know, it was not a lot, something that we really discussed that much. But then as the gay culture, you know, became more prominent in society, and you know, and more people came out, you know, we started discussing. And then he has a nephew who's gay, and his family has completely shunned him. And, I mean, I can remember sitting around the table and all of us, you know, saying, you know, how horrible this was, you know, that someone would disown their own child, you know, because of something he couldn't control. I mean, it's like disowning your child because he's blue-eyed or has brown hair. You know, that's not something they can control. And then, of course, we end up with Gay Dad.
Now, you know, when you first met, how old were you when you first met him?
Oh, gosh, I was probably 18. I think I met him my first year of college, although we didn't date then. We just had mutual friends, and but we started dating, I guess, about 2 years later, and dated for our last 2 years of college, and then got married right after we got after we graduated.
So had the issue of homosexuality ever come up when you were, you know, when you first met, or gay, or your feelings about it?
Nope, never did.
Never did.
It was just never an issue. Never, you know, anything. I mean, we didn't have any gay friends. We didn't know anybody that was gay. It was just, you know, not anything that was ever a topic of conversation.
Because I think that most gay men, you know, consciously or subconsciously, really seek out a woman who they feel will be liberal and understanding if the truth ever comes out. So he must have, you know, seen some of those characteristics in you as far as being an accepting person, a caring person, or not being a discriminating kind of person. You know, liberal.
Well, and then,
yeah.
Right, about, I don't know, maybe a year or so before I found out about him, there was a guy that came over to the house one time. They played sports together, and this guy was gay, and he was concerned that I was going to be upset because John was bringing a gay friend home, and I said, no, you know, I don't have a problem, you know, with you being gay, you know. So he may have been kind of feeling me out at that point, you know, to see what my attitude was, you know, but it, you know, that never came up until, you know, several years ago.
Now, up until the point when you really started finding out things, did you ever meet anyone before who was married to someone gay that you knew about personally?
No, I had never known anybody else married to a gay man.
I mean, were you familiar with the whole concept at all?
No, and when I found out, I thought I had to be the only person in the world, the only woman in the world married to a gay man. And then I got on the computer and I started looking, and that's when I found your website. And found out, no, I was not alone.
But you felt alone, right, prior to that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I felt very alone,
And that's what I always tell women, that, you know, even though there's millions of us, you know, we just feel so isolated. And I think it's because so many women are afraid to talk about it or discuss it, you know, that we keep it well hidden, you know, and we always say that the men come out of the closets, women go deeper into the closets because they really are afraid to discuss it with other people. So I think there's really a lack of, you know, real information out there, unless somebody's lucky enough to go on the internet and find, you know, some support. But,
right. I mean, I had even contacted the local PFLAG group here because I thought, well, maybe they had, you know, some kind of information or support group or something like that. And they were very nice. And they said, you know, no, actually, you know, what we have is more for, you know, parents or, you know, parents of gay children, that sort of thing. But they, you know, they said, you know, if you want to come to our meetings, you're welcome to come. And, you know, I thanked them and said, you know, I really don't think that's going to help me. But, you know, I couldn't find anything, you know, until I found your group online.
Now, you did mention that you're involved now with, you know, support for divorced people.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of work, I mean, is there a title that you have for that?
Well, I'm a facilitator. I just basically just sit at the meetings and listen and let people talk. We have it's kind of a discussion forum. We have a different topic every week dealing with the grief process of divorce, and we also have widowed people in there as well. And you know, we have some questions that we give them every week, and they answer the questions, and then it's just a discussion forum. So I'm basically just, you know, a shoulder to cry on, somebody who will listen to them when they talk, and because talking helps. You know, when you can talk about things and write about things, that really helps to get it out.
I know that you mentioned about the grieving process. I know that, Misty, you know, you always talk about the different grieving processes that women have to go through.
Yes, there's it's like a death, except as we say, when you're, you know, discover that you're married to a gay husband, it's just like the ultimate form of betrayal, and it's actually more complicated than a death, because you're dealing with so many different layers of complication that just adds to the mix and the emotions of all of it, and it can be very difficult.
So, and now that I've, you know, heard from different people that, you know, at least when somebody dies, you know, there's some finality there, and it's easier to grieve that because you go through the different stages, but then eventually you come to acceptance because the person's gone. As two people who really work with the grieving process, do you feel it's harder when somebody's alive and you have to, you know, get over this?
I think it can be. I think it can be, because what you're doing, you're uncovering a secret life of someone. The death, you've basically experienced the death of the relationship. The death of the relationship as you knew it. And you woke up the next day married to a stranger that you no longer know who they are. And it's a whole learning process. So basically, the end of that relationship is over, and you're trying to just figure out and sort all this stuff in your head of what's going on, because the person you knew is not there anymore. There's someone else. It was their facade. So, it can be more complicated. It can be harder to work through. And the hardest part about it is people are so embarrassed sometimes to seek support for this type of situation. So they, like you said earlier, you know, sometimes the husband comes out, and then oftentimes the wife goes farther back into the closet, because it's hard and embarrassing to reach out for help. Even in 2011, it's not easy to reach out for help for these types of matters. So it is difficult. It's complicated.
You know, I'd like to ask you both your opinion of this also. I think where these divorces are a little trickier than other ones, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why, but one reason is because in many cases, and Maggie, you might have seen this in your divorce group, since you're primarily working with straight couples, right, in the divorce group. It's not like a gay spouse is there.
Yeah.
So if a marriage goes bad over a period of time, it's usually because there's disillusionment with both parties, and they realize they don't want to live with each other anymore because there's been a lot of stuff going on. But when you have a straight gay marriage, in many cases, I think, you know, including yours, Maggie, where you really have no clue that there is something wrong and you thought you had a good marriage, you know, and you loved your husband, and all of a sudden now he's gone, but it wasn't because of, you know, your lack of love for him, it's because he's gay, that I think it takes a lot longer to be able to process that and get past that because you still love him. Do you find that might be a factor there?
Well, actually, in most of the cases, you know, that I've dealt with the women that I've dealt with, you know, the majority of them, their husbands have committed adultery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just in a matter of growing apart or whatever. You know, there's been fault on the part of the man,
mm-hmm.
and that was, you know, to me that was the bigger issue. You know, was the adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, gay or straight, that's very difficult to deal with because of the betrayal and the trust issues. Misty was talking earlier about, you know, death, you know, versus divorce, and because we do deal with widows in our group as well, you know, yes, they've lost a partner, but in most cases, they had a good marriage. they have good memories. You know, they feel like they've lost somebody that they loved. Whereas with the divorce, you've divorced somebody. You know, at least in my case, I've divorced somebody that that lied to me from the get-go, and then just tried everything he could to keep me from getting anything in the divorce, and I still have to see him from time to time. We have children, we have a grandchild, so we have family events, that we have to be at together, and that's extremely awkward. I know I've heard people that talk about, amicable divorces, and I don't know, from my standpoint, I think that's an oxymoron, I've yet to meet anybody that had an amicable divorce,
Well, I know it is difficult. I actually do know some couples that do have amicable divorces, and that's something that I really encourage people to work towards, but there has to be the right combination for the man's part to be
able to work at it,
The man has to realize that he still has emotional and financial obligations towards his family. And as we've talked with, the men who come on our show, it seems as if, at that point when they're ready to come out and lead their own lives and be true to themselves, that becomes the priority rather than what their responsibilities are. But, I have met men who are totally responsible to their families financially and emotionally, and those are the marriages that seem to be the best divorces because, the family can still be a unit outside the family unit where they support each other and help each other as far as raising the children. And the husband has, like a lot of gay men really just don't understand this concept. We were talking about this earlier, Misty, and me and, Rick, who also does, coaching for the gay men, that these gay men have a whole lifetime to struggle with their issues. And, I'm truly sympathetic that, a lot of them are really tortured. But the bottom line is that when they come to terms with it, they've come to terms with it. And then the wives find out and they expect that the wives should come to terms with it 1, 2, 3. And it just doesn't work that way. You've had a lifetime to struggle. You have to give your wife the proper amount of time to go through what she needs to process the whole issue. And, where does she go from there? You're ready to move on in your life, but that doesn't mean she's ready to, now end the life that she thought she had. And I think that's where you have the miscommunication there, because these men are just so anxious to move along, they don't want to, keep being dragged back into a situation they don't want to even be part of anymore. So I think it is difficult, with a lot of these divorces to really end them the right way, but that's something that, we're going to be hopefully working with better communication between gay husbands and straight wives, so that gay men can understand, what the damage is that's done when you don't do things in the right way. So maybe could you talk a little bit about that, Maggie, about, how you personally felt?
Yeah, well, my ex-husband has, he's just sort of moved on with his life. He's got a live-in partner, and life goes on for them. He still has his salary. They take vacations together. From all outward appearances, the divorce was just kind of a little blip, in life, and life is going on for him. I'm still struggling with this. I'm very much hung up in the anger phase of the grieving process. I'm mad at him. I'm mad at the world. He wants to fight me at every turn about everything. And I just, keep wanting to say, why can't you understand that, you stole half of my life from me? And, I'm just asking for a fair shake. I don't have a career.
Do you think you would feel differently about the whole thing? You'd be able to go through that, past that anger phase if he were different as far as, giving you the support you needed?
Probably, yeah. I might not be so angry. And the thing was, I had pretty much moved through the anger phase. And when we went to mediation and we had a settlement agreement, and I thought it was a fair settlement, And, you know, I thought, you know, okay, I'm not going to be penniless. I'm not going to be, you know, living in a, you know, living in my car, you know, somewhere. Uh-huh. You know, I'm going to have insurance. You know, I'm not going to be rich by any means, but, you know, I'll be able to manage. I'll be able to survive. And then he reneged on our agreement.
Uh-huh.
And because he thought he didn't get a fair shake, and
that's
at that
after
point,
he already agreed on this, on giving you what he did, right?
Right. Yeah. He had. We both signed it, and then he reneged on it, and then turned around and sued me for divorce. And at that point, my anger was like, I mean, it was like, you know, you took a can of gasoline and threw it on, you know, a fire, and it just, you know. I just got mad all over again, you know, because I thought, why are you doing this to me? You know, it was adding insult on top of injury, you know, to fight me over the terms of the divorce. You know, when all, like I said, all I was asking, I wasn't asking for everything. I was just asking, mostly I got just what I was entitled to under the law. And, but he wasn't happy with that. And so he eventually signed the agreement.
You know, the 5 years after he was actively out there, you know, meeting men and having relationships that you found out approximately.
Yeah.
So do you think things would have been different if he would have come to you and said, Maggie, listen, you know, I do love you, but I just don't know how this happened. You know, I'm gay and I feel the need that I can't stay in this marriage anymore because I want to act on it.
Yeah. I like to think that it would have been different, you know, if he had done it that way. I still would have been shocked. I would have been upset. You know, I probably would have felt betrayed, but not to the degree that I did, you know, finding out the way I, you know, that he had kept it a secret. I think, you know, if he had just been honest and come to me, you know, we could have come to terms with it much more amicably and, you know, maybe
it would have felt more supportive to him.
Right.
You know, if he, you know, you felt that he, you know, was going through this. I think, you know, where men keep missing the boat is that the sooner you tell your wife, the better your chances are that, you know, you can have some kind of relationship of support from them. It's just all these lingering years of when women know something is wrong and they're internalizing the blame that, you know, what are they doing wrong or why don't their husbands love them enough or care about them enough? And the husbands keep blaming their wives. You know, they keep putting it outward. Well, you're not supportive enough. You're not attractive enough. You're not this enough. You know, and making the wives start doubting themselves. I mean, this is where so much of the damage is done.
Right.
And the lack of your own self-esteem or feeling good about yourself because, you know, your husband doesn't make you feel good about yourself. I think that really is a major part also. And he doesn't make you feel good about himself because he doesn't want to be there anymore, but he can't be honest with you. But I think that, you know, the key to this is letting your wife know, being honest about it, not being out there for years cheating on her, and then, you know, she finds out that way, or you decide when you're ready to leave, because you met someone who's, you know, good for you, that, you know, to hell with the family, now you're going to find your own happiness. I think that these are all major contributing factors into how the couple proceeds, you know, for the rest of their lives. You know, that they could build a friendship if they were honest and gave the right kind of support to the family. But when they're not honest and they fight you on what's, you know, should be rightfully yours, how are you supposed to feel? Do you agree with that?
Yeah. There's a blog that I follow that's written by the wife of a very prominent musician who came out as gay a couple years ago. But he first went to his family and told them, you know, this is the situation. I've struggled with this all of my life, and I mean, he's a very devout Christian, very public figure, but he went to his wife and his children first and said, this is what, you know, what the situation is. And so, you know, they divorced, but she is his biggest advocate. You know, she gets hate mail from people who say, you know, how could he do this? You know, blah, 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 blah. And she is his biggest, biggest supporter. And because he did it the right way, you know.
I think that's the point that we're trying to make. There is a right way and a wrong way.
Yeah, there's a right way
and
a wrong way.
There are better ways and worse ways.
The right way, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, you know, they're still friends. As I said, she's his biggest public supporter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I often wonder if my husband had come to me like that, you know, because even now, you know, as acrimonious as things became, you know, I still, you know, say, you know, I defend, you know, the fact that, you know, he didn't choose to be gay. You know, he was born that way. Now, he chose to be promiscuous. He chose to commit adultery, but he didn't choose to be gay. So, you know, do not bash him about that. But you can bash him all you want to about being an adulterer.
And I think that's a really good point, that it's not so much the homosexuality as it is the infidelity, the lies, the deception.
I told my attorney that. I said, you know, the bigger issue for me is the infidelity, you know. Yes, the gay part matters because a mixed orientation marriage just, you know, it's not going to work very well. But, you know, the infidelity, that was the big issue for me.
And I don't, you know, I think also maybe you may not agree with this, but since you are working with straight couples who are married and getting divorced, even though infidelity for them, as you said, many of them, that is the issue, I mean, I think it's still more understandable. Things happen in life. You know, I'm not defending it, but, you know, as far as infidelity is concerned, things go bad in a marriage, times are pressing, you know, there's all different reasons, you know. Studying, you know, just about all of them. But I think even with infidelity, sometimes it's a momentary, you know, weakness that somebody goes through. But then, you know, they still want to be with their wife. They can still keep a family together. They can, you know, still bring back whatever it was. And these relationships, there's no way of bringing it back. Wouldn't you say
so? Yeah, because a lot of these women, you know, that I work with, you know, whose husbands have had affairs, you know, they still love their husbands very much. And they would, you know, if the husbands were willing, you know, they would work, you know, they would do whatever it took, you know.
Well, I have a comment on that. My question is, how bring back what you didn't have to start with?
Exactly. Well, I think that's the difference with these marriages, is that you can't bring back something that can never come back because it wasn't there.
Right, yeah.
You know, these marriages are absolutely hopeless, you know, where other marriages, even if there is infidelity, you know, because people go through different things, you know, including women I know who are unfaithful to their husbands. But, you know, there's all different circumstances. You know, I don't judge people, certainly, on, you know, fidelity or infidelity. But to me, homosexuality is just not like an unfaithful husband who goes out and, you know, had an affair. It's the fact that he's never going to come back to you. Or you can never be the partner that, you know, he needs, and he's never going to make you feel like you are because of the fact that you're not really what he wants. I mean, there is no hope with that.
Yeah, Misty mentioned it, you know, earlier in the show when she said, you know, that just adds a whole another set of layers to the situation. You know, you're dealing with a whole, you know, whole additional set of problems.
Right, it's a totally different dynamic. To me, you know, when you have a gay husband, there's so many different issues besides just the fidelity issues. You know, and once again, there is no hope, and you can never take back what you never had to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you really helped our hour really fly fast, Maggie. I can't thank you enough because you always give such excellent insight to our listeners who really hang on to your words because, you know, they can really make a connection with you because, you know, you've gone through what they've gone through, especially women in long-term marriages. And it's always so encouraging when you go on because we have women who are married 20, 25, 30, 35 years. And it just seems like their lives just feel so fragile and shattered from, you know, the longer you stay in something, the harder it is to recover. But you're doing a good job on recovery, right?
I think so. You know, it's just, it's an ongoing process. You know, it's not, we tell people grief isn't a checklist that you can just go straight through. It's not something you can schedule on the calendar. It's not a straight line. You know, you'll go back and forth through the different stages, but as long as you're making forward progress, that's what counts. And I feel like I'm making forward progress, you know, baby steps, you know. That old thing about how do you eat an elephant, you know, one bite at a time, and that's what I do. I just take it one day at a time.
And I think Misty also mentions that sometimes you revisit some of those earlier phases that you think you're through, right, Misty?
Absolutely, and that's normal. People need to realize that's a normal part of the grieving process.
Yeah.
It's not a, you don't go through a stage and consider it finished. You revisit stages. It's normal to revisit a stage. The good part about it is when you revisit a stage, usually the duration is not as long and the intensity is not as deep, usually.
Right.
And
you have some past experience with that stage of grief that you can apply to.
Exactly.
Help
and
you
work
at a
different, and you're in a different part of the process of your grieving process. You're going to be different 6 months out versus being a year out. So, you know, grief evolves and it changes and it transforms. And the good thing is, when you come out on the other side, you have the opportunity to be better of who you are and who you wish to be. Because with grief, you can leave parts of you in the past too. That's the good part about it. You know, the relationship, the bad parts about it, leave it in the past. Move forward. Take the best you forward.
Right. That's a very good. I have to write that down. I like that. Take the best you forward.
Well, we can all make that our mantra for the week. Say it again, Misty.
Take the best you forward.
Take the best you forward. Well, I like that, and I think that will leave people with some encouraging thoughts for the week. So, Maggie, we want to thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you'll be back with us soon because you always share such wonderful insight.
Well,
and
you're quite
Misty.
Well.
I
want
to wish you a wonderful week.
Thanks.
And to all our listeners, we hope you have a peaceful week. Remember, if you need support, write to me at bonkaye@aol.com. If you're interested in receiving my newsletters or becoming part of our support chat. Maggie, do you think the support chat helps?
I do. I remember when I first started attending the chats, I mean, it helped so much. Just to know that I wasn't the only woman in the world who had a gay husband, that there were women, you know, other women out there who were going through the same thing that I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a very supportive sisterhood.
The great thing about the chat is that
even though they were just strangers on a screen, you know, although I have actually met two of the ladies face-to-face, and that was terrific. But even before that, just knowing that there were people who had been through this, you know, were going through this too, was just, it gave me some hope that, you know, yeah, I could survive this.
And I think the other great thing about the chat is that, you know, you take somebody like you, Maggie, who's been with us for a while on the chat, you know, you're past your own initial shock and you've gone through a lot of experiences where you don't necessarily need us anymore, but we really need you because you can give support to new people coming on. And we have some wonderful women who are past their initial stages of travel on the road to a gay husband recovery, but they're very generous in giving support to new people, and we get new people all the time. And it's really encouraging to them to see that people do make progress. And that's why I think the chat is great. You can see the results. So if any of you out there do need the support, you know, just get in touch with me and we'll get you set up. So, to both of you,
it's a way to pay forward.
It is, absolutely. So, thank you all for listening. And, Misty, how do you say it every week?
Good night and love to all.
All right. Good night, everybody, and love to all of you. Talk
good
to you
night.
Next Sunday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.